نحمد الله وحده إن في ذا لمعتبر إن في ذا لعبرة للبيب إن اعتبر نحمد الله وحده إن في ذا لمعتبر إن في ذا لعبرة للبيب إن اعتبر نحمد الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think I've just with a bit of Quran, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Oh. Sisters, wherever they may be, to relieve them from any discomfort into comfort, and from any hardship into ease, and from every calamity into an opening in life, and from every hardship, anxiety and grief into a happiness and tranquility in their hearts, in this world and in the hereafter, and to give victory to the people who are fighting in the cause of justice for the sake of Allah, defending our brothers and sisters where they are oppressed anywhere in the world. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring down His mercy upon us and to forgive us for our sins. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight I bring for you a very intriguing topic that will, insha'Allah, shiver the hearts and let them return back to their humble state, which we were once created upon in our natural instinct when we were born. That state which is free from pride, free from hardship in our hearts, free from hatred, free from not knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring ourselves to a moment in this night, insha'Allah, to return back to know who our Creator is, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, His mercy and His forgiveness. For all of those who have been sinning all their life, have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of their life, for those who now sit before us, and when they go home in front of Allah, they are thinking about how many sins they have done in their life, and that whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them or not. Those who have despaired and lost hope in that because they have done so many sins, they have fallen into riba, or they have done zina, or they have stolen, or they have cheated, or they have lied, or they have caused bloodshed, or wealth, loss of wealth for other people, or might have brought hardship into other people's life, or might have done many minor sins in their life, or missed out on their prayers, or missed out on fasting, or disobeyed Allah and penetrated boundaries which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them forbidden. Tonight, insha'Allah, I will bring you a hope. I will bring you a hope not from myself, but from the one who created you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who forbid things and commanded things, and the one who accepts your repentance and accepts to forgive you if you turn to Him. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we all fall into mistakes. And we all sin. And how many times many of us have sinned and returned back to Allah, and then sin again, and then return back to Him, and then sin again. And how many times have we fallen into mischief, and fallen into disobedience, and penetrated boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then returned back to Him, and then repeated them again. How many of us have done so? And I need you to understand first of all, that for every sin and every disobedience, there is a mischief, there is a misfortune, there is a bad calamity that will follow. For every sin a Muslim commits, then there will follow a misfortune later on, brothers and sisters. Even if it were after 40 whole years, the misfortune of a sin shall surely reach you. This is a man at the time of Musa alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam was with his children of Israel, 70,000 of them, after they had been saved from Fir'aun. And then they were out in the desert without the drop of a single water. And so Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, Ya Rab, isqina al-ma, give us water so that we may drink. And so Allah said to him, Ya Musa, I prevented you from the water because there is a man amongst you who has disobeyed me for 40 whole years. Because of him I have denied you the drop of water from the sky. Tell him to leave the people and I will give you water. So Musa said, Ya Rab, I am a weak person. How can I make my voice reach amongst the 70,000 people? He said, call out and I will convey that to him. Or convey that to him. So he called out and said, Ya man ladhi asa Allah 40 aaman. Oh, you who has disobeyed Allah for 40 years. Leave us, for it is because of you we have been denied a drop of water. And so this man heard this. And he looked around and found that no one had left. And so he acknowledged that it was him. He could not do anything except to grab his cloak and to place and hide his head in there. And then he cried out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Oh Allah, if I were to leave the people, then I will leave in shame and I will expose myself. Oh Allah, I have come to you after 40 years seeking your forgiveness and seeking your mercy. Oh you who told us that you will forgive us, I have come to you after 40 years asking for your forgiveness. So forgive me, Ya Rab. And then all of a sudden the clouds begin to gather and the rain begin to drop and everyone began to drink. Musa alayhi salam was astonished and said, Ya Rab, the man has not left. And then Allah said, Ya Musa, the same person who I denied you the water, because of him, I have now given you the water. Musa alayhi salam asked, Who is this person? Show me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, said, I have covered his sin up for 40 whole years when he was disobeying me, when he was my enemy. And now that he has become repenting to me, he has become my beloved, now you want me to expose him when he has come closer to me, Ya Musa? I will not. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And know that for every minor sin, if you are a person who prays, and a person who fasts, and a person who donates and gives in charity now and again, or a person who obeys their parents, or is good to their parents, or is good to their neighbors, then inshaAllah, these good acts will surely wipe away your bad acts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَذُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And so perform your prayers in the day and part of the night, for surely good deeds wipe away bad sins. If you pray and you follow every sin with a good deed, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَتْبِعِ الْحَسَنَةَ السَّيِّئَةَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ الْحُلْهَا. Then follow your sin with a good deed. Whenever you do a bad sin, brothers and sisters, then follow with a good deed. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ it will be wiped off. So long as you can avoid the major sins. So long as you can avoid the major sins, then inshaAllah, Allah will forgive you all your minor sins. If you are a person who prays and seeks the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every now and again. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِنَ التَّوَابُونَ. All of the son of Adam surely commit sins, brothers and sisters in Islam. But the best of those who commit sins are the ones who repent to Allah. So repent to Allah, brothers and sisters. And this means that when you commit a major sin or a minor sin, then you ask Allah for forgiveness. Especially when a major sin is committed, such as the drinking of alcohol, or such as committing zina, adultery, fornication, stealing from the wealth, seeking riba from the banks, swearing to the Muslims, taking their wealth, قذف المحصنات, also exposing or talking bad about a Muslim woman who is chaste and modest to say that she does a fahisha, wal-iyadu billah. Or lying constantly, or slandering or backbiting. Then if you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will surely forgive you. You must first of all regret, for the greatest sign and the greatest sign and miracle to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a person who has committed a sin, for him to accept your repentance, the greatest sign for that, brothers and sisters, is an-nadam un-nadam, the regret, when your heart begins to shiver and feel fear and feel anxiety and feel grief over what you have done of sins, your heart returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the greatest signs of that also is to find your iman reach the highest state. After committing a sin, you regret, and then all of a sudden you repent, and then you find your iman rise higher than what it was before. This is one of the greatest signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. Those who do a bad sin, they remember Allah, and when they remember Allah, they ask Allah to forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that about those who commit sin, you will find that their iman rises. And when their iman rises, you find that their hearts shiver out of fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is only after committing a sin. Brothers and sisters, this is a sign of true iman. When you regret, when you find that you begin to cry, when you find yourself beginning to return back to Allah and thinking, will He forgive you or not? And then you ask Him to forgive you, and then you follow with good sin, with good deeds. Then surely this is a sign of true iman in yourself. Do not despair from that feeling. The shaitan wants you to leave it. And so he says to you, you have committed too many sins, brother. You have committed too many sins, sister. How would one single prayer make Allah forgive all these sins? This is what the shaitan tries to tell you. Brothers and sisters, also I quote from Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayh, who said, all of those who commit, who do good deeds, then all of their minor sins are forgiven bi-ithnillah, so long as you can avoid the major sins. And this is evident from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayat al-najm, in the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة. Those who avoid the greatest sins of what we have forbidden against mankind, against our servants, all except for the minor sins, then surely Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. If you can guarantee that you avoid the major sins of what we have forgiven, we have forbidden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then Allah is oft forgiving, and He will forgive every other minor sin. Alhamdulillah, a hope from Allah, a forgiveness from Allah, a mercy from the most merciful, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَأَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مَنْ أُمِّ بِوَلَدِهَا. Allah is more merciful to His servant than the mother to her own child. And can you imagine, brothers and sisters, than anyone being more merciful? Anyone wanting the best? Anyone wanting harm to stay away from the path more than the mother towards her own child? Abadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَأَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنَ الْأُمِّ لِوَلَدِهَا. Allah is more merciful than the mother towards her own child. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And Allah surely wants to forgive you. And He wants those who follow the path of the shaitan towards zina and adultery and fornication and fahisha, He wants them to stay away from that act so that they will not fall into greater harm against themselves. Allah wants to forgive you, however, and Allah wants to make things easy for you. However, mankind was created to be weak. Allah wants to forgive us, brothers and sisters in Islam. Do not ever despair, no matter what you have done, even if you have killed 100 souls, as the story in the hadith tells us about. Even if you have committed adultery and fornication before, do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And from here, I bring you a story from the past, from the light past, from the past which fills us like a crown on our heads, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about a woman who was married in his time and had committed adultery with a man, and she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I am a woman who has committed zina, and I am married, muhsana, and I am now pregnant from zina, Ya Rasulullah. Fatahirni, bring purity to me, as Allah has ordained in capital punishment in the Quran. Subhanallah, strange is the matter of this woman. She acknowledges and knows that the punishment for a person male or female, who commits zina when they are married is none other than to be stoned to death until they die. She knows this, and she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when she could have avoided it and asked Allah to forgive her. But because of the intensity of the sin which had reached her and the harm which had approached her heart, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, purify me from a bad sin which I have done, a boundary of Allah which I have penetrated. How am I going to meet Allah?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned his face away from her. And so she returned back to him and said, and then he returned his face away from her a second time until the fourth time. Why? Maybe she is drunk. Maybe she has gone mad. Maybe he was trying to give her the opportunity to return back and ask Allah to forgive her, that Allah will forgive her in another way. This is not the only resort. However, she insisted. And when she insisted, the Prophet ﷺ said to her, "Return until you give birth to the child." What is the sin, brothers and sisters, of the child? Where one of us, they go and go, when our men, women today, they go out and get abortions, and kill this innocent child. You have no right to do this, brother and sister. You have no right just to do this, O husbands of your wives. They are a life which Allah has ordained to be born. And so the Prophet ﷺ said to her, "Go back until you give birth to the child." So she went, and after 9 whole months, she returned back to the Prophet ﷺ. Of course, he was thinking that maybe she will forget. But she returned back to the Prophet ﷺ with more intensity than she was before. And she said to him, reminding him, "Ya Rasulullah, I am the woman who came to you pregnant because of zina and asked you to purify me with the capital punishment of Allah. But then you returned me to tell me give birth to the child. And here I am, I have given birth to this infant. Tahirni ya Rasulullah, purify me from this bad sin." And then the Prophet ﷺ said to her, "Return back until he has become independent of your breast." Until he's independent, who is going to look after him after you? So she returned back, and this is the mercy of Islam towards the children. She returned back, وَبَعْدَ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ, after 2 whole years of breastfeeding him, she returned back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am the woman who came to you who was pregnant of zina. You returned me until I came back when I had given birth to him. Then you returned me back until he has become independent of my breast." And she came to with her child, with a piece of bread in his hand. With a piece of bread in his hand to prove to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has surely become independent of her breast. Why? It is so that she can prove to so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not return her back. And after he made one of the companions, or a group of the companions, to look after or take custody of the child, they brought her. فَشُدَّتْ عَلَيْهَا ثِيَابُهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. They tied her clothes on her. And then she was stoned. Until when one of the men threw a stone so hard that it made the blood seep onto his clothing and spatter onto his clothing. It was as was so happy, as though he had done something so good. The Prophet ﷺ noticed this in his face and wanted to discipline the man and discipline the people. So he stood up in anger and he screamed in front of the people and said, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ تَابَتْ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ تَوْبَةً لَوْ تَابَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ تَوْبَتُهَا. Wallahi, this woman has done such a repentance so valuable, that if you were to compare to the repentance of all the people of the Medina, then her repentance would have overcome them all. If you were to place them on a scale, then her repentance alone would have been far more heavier than all of the people of the Medina. If all of them were to drink alcohol and commit zina, then this woman's repentance alone would have overweighed them. And the Prophet ﷺ then prayed Salatul Janazah upon her and asked Allah to forgive her. And she was raised, as he said, sinless, the same way her mother gave birth to them. And from here, the image of repentance, brothers and sisters, returns back to us. The teaching of the Prophet ﷺ comes back to us, صَادِقَةً لَامِعًا, very eminent, shining in front of us in our time. The Prophet's teachings did not only exist then, but they also came back to our time. 1,400 years later, brothers and sisters, I bring to you a story from this time of ours. In this time of ours, in this era, in this generation which you and I now live in, only not more than 10 years ago, a story which brings about the image which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his companions and his nation upon, which still exists till this day and until this time. I bring to you this story. And before I begin, brothers and sisters, I will have to warn you that the shaitan may come to each and every one of your minds and try to whisper to you to say, Bilal up there on the stage is only merely telling us this story just to make us cry or to make us feel compassionate, although it is a fake story. But I say to you, Wallahi, ثُمَّ تَاللَّهِ فَاللَّهِ, that this story is not a made-up story. لَيْسَ مِنْ نَزْجِ الْأَوْهَامِ وَالْخَيَالِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, فَقُصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. Tell them the stories of Muhammad, the true stories of the past, so that they may remember and so that they may reflect, but do not tell them stories of lies. I bring to you the story which I have heard 14 years ago from a shaykh. His name was Shaykh Sa'd al-Burayk, who delivered a speech, a khutbah, back in Riyadh, which he heard from another man. And we call this man a Shaykh Ahmad al-Taweed. The Shaykh Ahmad al-Taweed, he tells us this story of an event which occurred with him when he was on one of his trips, on his business trips in Syria. And the story begins like this, brothers and sisters. Shaykh Ahmad al-Taweed tells us, he said, I was once out on a business trip in one of the neighboring countries of Riyadh, namely Syria. And I was on this business trip for only 2 or 3 days, desiring and intending to return immediately afterwards. I went into this land, and after completing my business trip, I wanted to return back, but I had finished early. And there was a whole day before my plane would depart. And this country was full of haram wherever I went and wherever I stayed at. So I went looking for a place to sleep in because I was extremely tired, until I found one of the hotels. And then when I entered into one of these hotels with my sunnah clothing, or the custom clothing that we know, and with my beard so long, I looked like an eminent sheikh to all the people. I entered into this hotel when all of a sudden I saw nothing but alcohol and nothing but bars and nothing but people with women on their laps drinking away and becoming drunk and laughing away as if the shaitan was riding upon their shoulders, as if I could see the shaitan with my own eyes everywhere I went, and definitely there were no angels in that room. Women, prostitutes, pimps, everywhere. Until one of the people who was holding a bottle of wine noticed me and said to me, Ya Shaykh, go away from here. Get out of this place. This is not a place for you. I will not allow you to come into here. I said to him, where am I to go? And the night is approaching and I have nothing, nowhere else to sleep. He said, this is not a place for you. Do you not see all the haram that is available? I will not allow you to come in here. This place is not worthy. You are not worthy. This place is not worthy of having a person like you in it. He said, so I went around. Everywhere I went, I saw haram, prostitutes, pimps, alcohol, women. And then finally, I found a park to sleep on one of the benches. I slept for a long time. And then in the morning, I awoke. And then I went to the airport. And my flight was after Dhuhr, about 2 hours after Dhuhr. And so I went to look for a place to sleep in. I could not find except for a little prayer room. And so I went into this prayer room and slept, because I was full of tiredness. I slept in this prayer room because I was extremely tired. And then a short while afterwards, I woke up to the crying of a man. I looked ahead of me, and all I could see was barely a man standing up, bowing and prostrating, and crying so badly like a child, as if a woman had just lost her only firstborn son. Or as if a husband and wife who loved each other had just departed and lost each other in an accident. He was crying so deeply and so immensely that almost he could not even take breath. I did not even take, I said. So I went back to sleep because I was so exhausted. And then almost before Dhuhr, when the adhan was being called out, I felt like somebody was trying to wake me up. I looked ahead of me, and then there was a blur in front of me. And all of a sudden I see, to my astonishment, the same man who was praying hours ago when I awoke. And he was trying to wake me up like this, and trying to wake me up, signaling away, and touching my shoulder, and shaking me. And then he looked at me and his eyes were full of tears, and his face had gone pale and withered. And he said to me a strange word, which I did not understand why. He said, "Ya akhi, hal tastati'u an tanam? Hal tastati'u an tanam? Hal tastati'u an tanam? Are you able to sleep at this time? Are you able to sleep at this time? As for I am not able to sleep for a single wink. I cannot believe how you people are able to sleep. For 3 whole nights, I haven't been able to sleep or drink or eat any type of food." I looked at him that he was in full anxiety. So I said to him, "Ya akhi, let us pray the dhuhr. And then after that, inshaAllah, you can discuss what your problem is." So we prayed. And after the people had left, he sat with me. And just before my flight is about to depart. And then he said to me, "My name is Ahmed." Like the shaykh said. "My name is Ahmed." And we refer to him as Ahmed the Repenter. "My name is Ahmed and I am from a city called Riyadh." From the same city the Shaykh Ahmed comes from. "And I come from a very wealthy family. Everything is brought to us. Everything we ask for, it is brought in front of us. The slave people and the servant men are in front of us. The maidens are there to serve us at our feet. Anything and everything we ask for, we recline on sheets of silk. And we eat from the most exquisite food. However, I became sick and bored of the daily routines which we live in. And I wanted to escape from the times, from the routine which we live in our life over there. So I wanted to try something new. And I am a married man who has children. So I thought to myself, and the shaitan came to me and said to me, 'Brother, where are you going to go to try a new way of life when everyone here knows you? Go out to one of the countries outside. Go on a tour. Go on a little holiday without your family. Go and do things where no one could see you.' And brothers and sisters, a warning, this is what the shaitan says to every person. The shaitan does not come to you and say to you, 'Go out and drink alcohol,' because he knows if you're a Muslim, you won't do that. Or he doesn't say to you, 'Go out and commit zina.' Or he doesn't say to you, 'Go out and do so and so and buy prostitutes and sleep with them.' No, 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 because the shaitan is smarter than what you think. However, Allah says, 'Yastadrijukum min haythu la ta'lamun.' He slowly takes you step by step into ways and plots and plans which you yourself did not anticipate. You may think that you are a sincere mu'min, but he takes you step by step until finally you reach the haram. And you commit the worst of sins, and it seems as though you have not done anything. He says, 'Look out into the world of tourism where no one could see you, because we are ashamed when someone sees us. We try to look for a place where no one could know us.' Am I right or wrong?" I'm right. Imagine yourself when you are alone inside the room when no one could see you. What kind of bad thoughts do you get? What kind of sins do you commit? Think about them and recall them. How comfortable you feel when you are alone. How comfortable you feel when you are in a land or a place where nobody knows you. And you forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. He said, "So I came to this country which you and I are in. And then I was out when all of a sudden a group of people came to know me. And they became acquainted to me. And then one of them, who I liked his face, began to smile to me and assist me and help me and take me around to show me places of nice tourism and having fun with all these different things which I had never seen before. Slowly and slowly he brought women to me. And then we hung around with women and girls, not knowing what my fate was. And then all of a sudden my iman began to diminish. And I forgot that speaking and smiling to a woman is haram. I forgot, with my desire and my temptation and my hormones, sexual hormones which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in a man, they came and overtook my mind and my mental state. Until all of a sudden, this man who I discovered later on to be a pimp, he made me go out with one of these prostitutes and took my money. He took my money and I'd forgotten every shame that had existed in my heart. After a few days, this woman began to smile to me and let me smell her breath and let me smell her beautiful fragrance which was on her. And she began to walk from side to side and took me alone away from the people until I was safeguarded so that I cannot be shameful, so I cannot feel any shame or embarrassment in front of the people. And then we rented out an apartment and took me up with no more shame in my heart. until we entered into one of the rooms. And then she displayed herself to me with all the beautiful clothing which I had never seen before in other women, and in a wonderful figure which she had prepared herself for. And then all of a sudden, I did not find myself except that I was right on top of her. I was on top of her. And then when I emptied what was inside of me and ejected what was inside of me, which Allah had created, all of a sudden I felt a heavy pain come down my spine from my head right down to the bottom of my feet. And then I felt pain in my feet and an extreme pain and heat in my head. It was the pain of agony of what I had just done. My senses all returned back to me like a flow of blood. And my senses all returned back to me like a fountain, like a stream which had just exploded from within a rock. And then I began to cry. I began to cry and cry and weep. And then I got off the woman and I screamed as far as I could reach with my voice and said, لَقَدْ زَنَيْتْ لَقَدْ زَنَيْتْ كَيْفَ زَنَيْتْ كَيْفَ انْتَهَدْتُ هَذَا الْجِدَارِ. He said, I have committed zina. For the first time I have ever committed zina. How could I have followed the ways of the shaitan? How could I have penetrated the boundaries of Allah? The woman thought that I had gone crazy. But I did not care about anyone anymore. I wore my clothes immediately. And then I opened the door and rushed outside and ran away, crying away and going down the steps. And then I saw in front of me at the door of the hotel, the friend, the pimp, the luminous pimp, the shameful pimp, the evil pimp who had brought me into this. And he was holding a bottle of wine. And then he said to me, what is wrong with you? Why are you crying? And I replied to him with agony, I have committed adultery. Do you not know what adultery is? I have committed adultery. Save me, let me go. What did this luminous pimp say? He said to him, خُذْ كَأْسًا مِنْ هَذَا الْخَمْرِ تَنْسَى مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ. Take a bottle of this wine and you will forget all the state that you are in. Take a bottle of this wine and you will forget all the state that you are in. And then he said to him, Ahmed, he said, after taking my wealth and preventing me from opportunity to drink, to opportunity from sleeping with the women, the Hur al-Ain of paradise, now you want to prevent me and forbid me from drinking from the wine of paradise. What did that evil pimp say? He said to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is forgivable. Allah is forgiving and merciful. Although he had forgotten that Allah شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, He is also severe in His punishment. أَعَدَّ لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا تَلَظَّى لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. He prepared for those who oppress themselves in life a tormenting, blazing hellfire. Only the oppressed people, the people who oppress themselves, enter it. The criminals enter it. تُقَادُ بِسَبْعِينَ أَلْفِ زِمَانٍ. It will be brought on the Day of Judgment with 70,000 leashes. وَعَلَى كُلِّ زِمَانٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ يَجُرُّونَهَا. And on every leash, there will be 70,000 angels dragging hellfire along. When it sees the mujrimeen, the criminals, they hear from it an inhalation, an exhalation, a breathing of in and out, wanting to eat and consume everything inside. And then the man looked at him, he shoved him away from him, Ahmed, and he ran away out of the hotel. He ran away, he said, and now I have ended up in this same prayer room which you and I are in right now in this airport. Our friend the Shaykh Ahmed al-Tawil, after hearing this, he said, I grabbed him. And I did not know what to say to him. And this brother of mine, Ahmed, the repenter, he said to me, Ya Akhi, I don't know what to do. I have lost my iman. And I cannot eat or drink or sleep. What am I going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? I said to him, the Shaykh says, I said to him, Ya Akhi, all I could remember right now, the ayah in the Quran which gives the greatest hope of what I have memorized. I will recite it to you and remind you of it. Maybe that will give you some hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah. He said, all I could say to him was this, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O Muhammad, to my servants, those who have blamed themselves and found sorrow and despair and agony, regretting their sin, do not despair from the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. And you know what the Ahmad the Repenter replied? He said to me, Ya Akhi, Allah will forgive for everyone else except for me. How could Allah forgive me? Yes, the ayah is true. But Allah, I cannot imagine Him forgiving me, but He will forgive for everyone else except for me. I've committed too much of a bad sin. He did not say this because he had lost hope in Allah, but because of the agony of the sin which he had, which had entered his heart. I did not know what to say to him, he said. And then I gave him my phone number and said to him, because the announcement came out for the departure of my airplane. I gave him my phone number and I said to him, maybe inshallah we can meet again back in the city of Riyadh, if Allah wills. So I let him go and I climbed on and went back to my homeland, thinking to myself, surely this person will forget all that which he is in. Surely after 2 or 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, he will forget the state that he is in, and then inshallah he will go on in his normal life like the rest of any other person. He said, but when I arrived back to my homeland, after 2 whole weeks, I received a phone call from my friend. And my friend said to me, I need to quickly meet you at the local mosque. Immediately come over, brother. So I went to the local mosque, and then I met him. And as soon as he saw me, he burst into cries. And he hugged me, and he was shivering. And he said to me, my dear brother, I have not come to you to visit you again, but I have come to you to farewell you. I have come to you to farewell you, and maybe I will meet you in Jannah, insha'Allah, if Allah's mercy reaches me. I said to him, my brother, where are you going? And so I said to him, he said to me, maybe insha'Allah I will meet you in Jannah, and insha'Allah, if Allah's mercy meets us, I will meet you there after death. So I grabbed him and grabbed hold of him, and I was shocked about what he was saying. I said to him, where are you going? You must tell me the truth. And then he replied to me, maybe inshallah I'll meet you in Jannah, and I am going to give myself into the government. I am going to give myself in the government. And as we know, in Saudi Arabia, brothers and sisters, the capital punishment is applied. The punishment of one who commits adultery, when they are married, then there is the stoning to death in the court of law, if they give themselves in, or if the witnesses come forth. I grabbed hold of him in fear, and I screamed to him, and I said to him, Ya Akhi, Usbir ala nafsik. Guard yourself. Have you gone crazy? Have you lost your mind? Do you not know that the punishment for an adulterer is stoning until death? Guard yourself. Guard your wife. Guard your children. Save yourself. There must be another way. And then Ahmad replied to him by saying, all of my family, my wife and my children cannot save me from hellfire. And all I want is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from hellfire on the day of judgment. I grabbed hold of him tighter, and I said to him, look ya akhi, all I can say to you is this, at least give me one more thing, for a friend. He said to me, ask for anything you like, except from asking me to not give myself in. I said to him, let us go to the most honorable and most knowledgeable shaykh that you and I know in this country, that you and I will both agree upon, and then we'll ask him for the fatwa. And if he says, let himself give in, then I will take you with my own hands and give you into the government. He agreed. He said, then shake our hands to this. He shook his hand, and then they went the next day to the most knowledgeable shaykh which they knew. And then the shaykh replied with a verdict of knowledge and evidence. And he said to him, do not let him give himself into the government. Allah can forgive him in another way. This shaykh who gave this verdict, he says, this man Ahmad, he kept on calling me over and over again. He would call me in the night, and he would call me in the day, and then he would call me the next day, and he would say to me, Ya Shaykh, ittaqillah, fear Allah, O Shaykh, wa ana ata'allaqu bi raqabatika yawm al-qiyamah. I will be held on your neck on the day of judgment, and I will say, Ya Rabb, I wanted to give myself into the government, and this Shaykh, he is the one who prevented me. So blame him today. And he would say this to the shaykh, and the shaykh would say, I have not given you this verdict out of ignorance, but I have only given you this verdict out of pure knowledge and evidence. Until finally he agreed, and he went back. However, he did not stop there, brothers and sisters. The agony and the pain remained with him. The sorrow of the sin remained with him. The cry on his face remained with him. He never smiled after that for a very long time, as his wife says. And then after that, he went back and he said to his friend, I need to meet you once more. And then I met him and I asked him, why, where are you going this time? And then he said to me, I have come to farewell you once more. I asked him, where are you going this time? Although the Shaykh has given already the verdict. He said to me, I have come to farewell you, and inshallah I will meet back with you after I have gone to Hajj. I want to go to Hajj. I feel like I want to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uridul Hajj. I want Hajj, and this is the sign of Iman, brothers and sisters. And so the Hajj was almost there. And I said to him, well, maybe inshallah you can go with our group. But then he replied to me by saying, no, no, no. So I thought, subhanAllah, maybe Allah had changed his heart. Maybe he has some other group which he wants to go with. And then we went to Hajj. And on the third day, when we were stoning, you know, the stoning on the third day against Iblis, this is the day, on the third day which you carry out in Hajj. And that is the day when most of the people are gathered. Even some people become stamped over there. So we said, on that third day, while we were stoning, I looked around, and all of a sudden from a distance I saw Ahmed. I saw Ahmed, and then I screamed out to him, yelling to him, Ya Ahmed! Ya Ahmed! And then Ahmed looked at me, he saw me, but then to my astonishment, he turned away and ran. He ran away from me. I said, Subhanallah, what has changed his heart towards me? And so when we returned back to Riyadh, he said, I contacted him and I met him. And then I asked him, brother, when I saw you in Hajj and called out to you and you saw me, why did you run away from me? Have I done something to you? Have you changed your heart towards me? And then he said to me, listen to what he said, brothers and sisters. He said to me, I am not sad with you, nor am I upset. However, I was too busy on that day asking Allah to forgive me. I was too busy asking Allah to forgive me. And then I would look around and I would say, how could Allah accept my Hajj? How could Allah accept these people's Hajj when I, the filthy person, am amongst them? When I, the filthy person, am amongst them, I am afraid that Allah may deny all these people their Hajj because I am there. So I began crying and crying. And then sometimes I would call and say to myself, maybe Allah will forgive me because of these wonderful, pure people who are around me. SubhanAllah. Subhana muqallib al-qulubi, brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah, who changes the hearts all of a sudden from the lowest state, from the most degraded state, to the highest state, even until they reach the state of the angels and the prophets and the messengers of Allah. This is the way he thought about it. And then after that, Ahmed the repenter memorized the whole Quran off by heart. And then he began to fast one day on and one day off, forever. And then he would pray his five prayers at the mosque in congregation. He would never leave them. And then he would pray the night prayers until he never left them. And he would recite the Quran every day until he would complete it every month. He would donate from his charitable from his money. And he would look after the orphan until he even donated, as I heard, to an orphanage and opened up an orphanage back in over there in Riyadh. He did all the noble and wonderful acts. Until one time I recall, one of the sheikhs whom I met, he said, I met Ahmed the repenter one time, and he was praying. And then he came and sat with me and he began to cry so much. There's another sheikh now, who met him. And he began to explain to me how sorry and sad he feels, and began to cry. And so I said to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and asked him, have hope in him. And then he got up and prayed in front of the sheikh. The sheikh says, I have never seen anyone pray like him. Two whole rukas, which took half an hour to complete. He was crying and weeping all the way through. I thought to myself, if he were to die praying this rukah, he will surely enter Jannah, guaranteed. So this Ahmed the repenter, he spent his days like this. And everyone were to call him Al-Abid, the one who prays to Allah. Until one day, Shaykh Ahmed, because he would stay with him all the time, he was his best friend. He said, at one time we were sitting at the mosque, listening to one of the famous lectures from one of the sheikhs in the land. And then the sheikh was telling us about one of the companions that existed in the time of the Prophet. His name was Al-Rabi' ibn Khuzaym. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuzaym, who was a young person between the age of 20 and 30. And by the way, this was the age of Ahmed the Repentant. He was above 25, but below 30. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuzaym, the people of the Quraysh, of the Mushrikeen, They found that he had a good effect on the people of the mushrikeen, and a lot of people were becoming Muslim because of him. They thought, we want to surely delude Rabi' ibn Khuzayn from the way he is. And the best means of doing so is to go to one of the most beautiful prostitutes, the most beautiful women that we could find amongst us, and pay her 1,000 dinars so that she may get or make Rabi' ibn Khuzayn kiss him once. Kiss him once. And then when they came to her, they said to her, we will give you 1,000 dinars to delude Rabi' into kissing you once. She said, what? For 1,000 dinars? I would make him do everything. Not only a kiss, but also do this and do that and sleep with me. So she went to him. And after he had praying Maghrib, she monitored him when he left the mosque until he was walking back home. And then when he came to a place which was designated, where no one could see them, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she came right in front of him. And then she was wearing a cloak. And she took that cloak off. She was completely naked underneath, brothers and sisters. And then, do you know what Rabi' ibn Khuzayn did? Well, it would be the opposite of one of a common man in our time would do. Immediately he turned his face away. And he screamed at her and said to her, how dare you? Do you not fear Allah? Do you not have faith from Allah? Doubt what would happen to your body which I see of you after only 2 days in your grave. Or what would happen to you if Allah decides to take your soul right now? How would you answer to Allah? What if this happened? What if that happened? And he began to scream at her until he made her cry. And then she put her cloak on and ran away crying in regret. And she repented to Allah and began to pray until they called her Abidat al-Kufa, the servant lady of the city of Kufa. And the mushrikeen who gave her 1,000 dinars began to say, dumbfounded. And they would call out and say, لَقَدْ أَفْسَدَهَا الرَّبِيعُ عَلَيْنَا. Al-Rabi' has deluded her on our account. Instead of us deluding him, he deluded her, and we paid her to go for him to delude her. Subhanallah. When all of a sudden, when the shaykh completed this story, they heard a scream and a cry. And then they saw a man stand up from amongst the crowd and run away and scream out, الرَّبِيعُ يَرُدُّهَا الرَّبِيعُ يَرُدُّهَا الرَّبِيعُ returns her away. وَأَنَا and I go with my own feet which Allah had created me with. I go with my own feet to commit zina with her. What will I say to Allah? And then the Shaykh Ahmad al-Tawil, his friend, said, if I had known that Ahmad the repenter was sitting amongst us, I would have told the Shaykh to take it easy on his stories. Time passed, brothers and sisters, until one day, a very famous and knowledgeable shaykh came and visited the land. Our friend the Shaykh Ahmad al-Tawil, he went and visited him. And he thought to himself, maybe I can ask the shaykh the story of this Ahmad the repenter. Maybe he will have some solution for him. Because he was feeling now afraid for Ahmad's welfare and being. He said, so I went to this shaykh. And I told him the story of Ahmad the repenter. And then the shaykh looked at me. And then he said to me, there is a solution in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a verse. Go and say this verse to your friend and inshallah it will be solved. I said to him, please shaykh, tell me what this verse is so that I might know it. We have been waiting for years and years for this solution. And so the shaykh began to recite a verse for me. He said, and this is the ayah, brothers and sisters, it is in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. And the meaning of this verse is, and those who do not call partners alongside with Allah and do not kill a soul without a just cause and do not commit fornication and adultery, And whoever does any of these acts will meet a terrible wrath from Allah on the Day of Judgment. The punishment will be multiplied for them, and they will be entered into hellfire humiliated. All of them, except those who repent. Except those who repent to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness, and then follow it, and then follow it with good deeds, and then follow it up with good deeds. Then for those people, Allah will exchange and transform their bad sins into good deeds, all of them. And Allah is oft forgiven, forgiving, most merciful. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Ahmad, he said, I could not wait until I go back to Ahmad the Repenter and to recite this Quran upon him, for he's shown the solution. And I thought to myself, this will be a great opening for him, a great door for him, a new life for him, a new awakening for him. He said, I raced to the mosque where he would always sit in. And then as soon as I approached the mosque, I slammed the doors open and he was lying there reciting from the Quran. And then I looked at him with an open face and a smiley face. And I said to him, I have come to you, O brother, with a glad tidings. I have come to you with the best news that you would ever hear. Are you ready to hear it? Are you ready to hear it? And then my brother Ahmad Rukhanta said, please tell me, O brother. I said, and so I began to recite the Quran. He said, قَدْ رَتَّلْتُهَا عَلَيْهِ تَرْتِيلًا. I begin to sing it to him melodiously. And so I said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. And whoever does any of these sins, he said, will surely enter hellfire humiliated. He said, as soon as I arrive to half of this verse where Allah says he will enter hellfire, I looked at him and it was as though I had stabbed him with a dagger into his heart. So I completed the verse and then I said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. He said, as soon as I finished this ayah, as soon as I completed this verse, he stood up and he reached towards me and he began to hug me and kiss me on my forehead. And he said to me, Akhi, wallahi, you have opened the door for the first time. I have memorized the whole Quran, and it is as though this is the first time I have ever read the Quran. You have surely opened the glad tidings for me, brother. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most merciful, most forgiving. He said, and so in that night, as soon as Maghrib approached, it was a coincidence that the Imam of the mosque was away. And so they put Ahmad the Repenter to pray Imam. And then as soon as he prayed Imam, he began to recite Al-Fatiha. As soon as he finished Al-Fatiha in the first ruk'ah, he began to recite, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. He said he completed this verse until when he reached the part where Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Except those who repent. He began to cry. And he tried to repeat it, but he began to cry again in prayer, and he could not complete this ayah, so he did not do anything but go down to bowing and prostrating. And then in the second ruk'ah, he recited the Fatiha, and then he repeated the verse. Maybe this time he was able to complete it, but then as soon as he reached the point where Allah says, except those who repent and do good acts, he said he began to cry again, but he could not repeat the verse at all. And he had no other means but to prostrate and bow. And he finished the prayer without being able to complete that verse, because he was so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed, brothers and sisters, that he could not repeat it. He began to cry and weep like a child. But this time he was weeping out of happiness, not like the same time when he was weeping when he met our friend in the airport in the prayer room, out of sorrow and sadness. Time passed. And about 5 months passed, and our friend says to us, was telling us the story, I hadn't heard from my dear friend Ahmad the Repenter until one day I received a phone call out of the blue. And this phone call was his father. And his father said to me, "Please come, my dear friend. You do not know me, nor do I know you. However, I need to meet you. My address is so and so, and come to my house." He said, so I went to his house, and as soon as I approached the large gates, the enormous doors, the wealthy doors, the palace of my dear friend Ahmad the Repenter, I knocked on the door, and then immediately his father answered the door. And as soon as his father saw me, he burst into immediate cries. He began to weep, and he grabbed hold of me really tightly and he began to hug me. I said, "Calm down, oh old man, calm down. Tell me what the situation is and tell me what your story is." And then the father said to me, "My dear brother Ahmed, you were the best friend of my son. And my son farewells you. And he gives you his salam. He departed this world last night. And his soul met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And his father began to weep again and cry. And I did not know what to do. What should I do? Calm the father down? Or cry along with him for the departure and the depart of my beautiful and wonderful friend Ahmed? I said to him, "Oh father, calm down and let us talk about the situation." So he took me inside. And brothers and sisters, in those countries, usually the body is delivered to the parents for one night before he is buried the next day. And so he took me into the room where the body of Ahmed al-Ta'ib was lying down on the bed, but he was covered with a piece of material. And so when I approached my dear friend, I took the material and the cloth away from his face. And to my happiness and delight, I did not look at a dead face. I could not see a dead face that had passed away from this life. But I looked at a face that was shining and glittering with light. I was looking at a face that had a partial smile on it. I was looking at a face that had lived and departed this world with happiness, with extreme delight, with comfort. I could not see the signs of sadness. I could not see the signs of agony. I could not see the signs of pain on his face at all. And I noticed a beautiful thing in this room. I noticed a wonderful fragrance which I could smell. And sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that a mu'min before he dies, or a shaheed, a martyr before he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a unique and special and distinctive smell which they could smell. This smell is from the fragrance of paradise, brothers and sisters. It is the musk of paradise, and it exists with them until they are buried and until they are resurrected once more. He said, "I could smell this fragrance in the room." And so I kissed his face and I cried a little for the depart of my dear friend Ahmed. I covered his face, and then my father took me into the room, and then he began to say to me, "Oh my dear son, it was last night and my son was voluntarily fasting. And then the time of Maghrib came and he prayed. And then I looked at him and said, 'Oh son, let us go home to my place so that we may break our fast together.' But then my son looked at me for the first time with a smiley face, a face that I had never seen for a very long time from him. And he said to me, 'Ya Abi, Ya Abati, I feel something today which I have never felt before. I feel an overwhelming happiness in my heart as though a voice is telling me, stay in the mosque.' And so I said to him, 'Okay, but then please hurry up and return, O son, so that we may eat together.' And then the father says, 'I came home, and then after about 10 or 15 minutes, something struck me in my heart. The father intuition. The fatherly intuition. Something struck me in my heart. Something did not feel right. And so I looked at my young son, his little brother, who was only about 8 or 9 years old. And then I said to him, 'My son, go immediately and see why your brother Ahmed is late, for we are waiting for him and I feel something strange in my heart.' And then the young son, the young brother, the young boy, only after about 2 minutes, he returned back running and screaming and crying and saying,
Ya abati, ya abati, ya abati, ya abati. Akhi Ahmad la yukallimuni. Al-Dari, al-Dari. My brother Ahmad is not speaking to me. He is not replying to me. And so I raced to the mosque. And then as soon as I entered into the mosque, I found my son Ahmed reclining with weakness, and the Qur'an was on his lap, and he was reclining on the steps of the minbar, which the imam climbs upon to give the sermon. And so I reached in and grabbed his head and placed it onto my lap, and his soul was coming out and departing from his body. I could hear the gurgling, and then he was mumbling some words. So I put my ear close to him, and then I could hear your name being mentioned to me. Give my salams to Shaykh Ahmad al-Tawil, my friend. Give my salams to Shaykh Ahmad al-Tawil, my friend, as I recall his name. And this is why I have called you. And then as he was in my lap, and as he was smiling, and as he was dying, and as his eyes began to lose focus, and as his eyelids were about to close, all of a sudden his face completely changed. And his face began smiling and laughing, and his eyes opened wide, and his pupil inside of his eye became so narrow, and it began to look up into the sky, and his voice began to change into a very clear, melodious, beautiful voice. And then while he was in my arms, he began to recite a verse which I had never heard before, in the most beautiful voice which I had never heard before. And then he said, والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. He said, as soon as he finished this ayah and completed it, his soul escaped from his body and his eyes followed his soul. He had completed the ayah, brothers and sisters. He had completed the ayah which had given him hope. He had completed the verse of the Qur'an which reminds him of Allah's mercy. He had completed the verse which guaranteed his entrance into paradise, which guaranteed his forgiveness, for he was a person who did regret, and then did repent, and then did follow it up with the good deeds, and now he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that time, brothers and sisters, he became famous, but nobody knew his surname. Because he had told our friend who was telling us the story never to say his full name to anyone. And his wife who did not know what had happened to him, and his father, they said to him, "Oh dear brother," the Kurdishan tells us the story, "tell us, what happened to our son and to my husband when he came back from the trip? For he came a different person." And then our friend said, "All I can say to you is that he had lost a very, very dear friend to him. And that very dear friend to him, brothers and sisters, do you know what it was? It is the closest companion to all of the people. The closest companion to a mu'min. The closest companion, which is the only solution and the only means of bringing tranquility and peace, and peace in your heart. The only thing that can bring you happiness in this life and in the hereafter. It is Iman. He has lost his most beloved companion, Iman. Faqad al-Iman." And his wife said, after he returned back to his trip, "I could never see him smiling properly or sleeping properly until this day." My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, what are we going to learn from this lesson? What are we going to do with what we have just heard? Are we going to go back home and forget everything that we have heard tonight? Are we going to go back home and forget the wonderful verses of the Qur'an which give us hope? Oh, you brother or sister who has committed sins all of their life, are you going to forget that repentance, acknowledging that Allah forgives you, is a sign of Iman, is a sign of true piety to Allah?
Are you going to forget that asking Allah to forgive you and praying in the night and seeking His help and crying for Him to forgive you, that this acknowledgement in itself is in fact Tawheed in itself? Are you going to go back home and commit your sins over and over again? Are you going to close the doors, oh brother, and then go back and look into the pornographic films and look into the pornographic magazines? Are you going to go, oh sister, back and think about giving your phone number and calling your beloved boyfriend, or oh brother, calling your beloved girlfriend, or going out to do haram acts, or going out to still commit riba, or going out to still humiliate others and destroy the lives of others by slandering and by gambling and by backbiting and by harming? Are you still going to do that after all of this? After all of this, are you going to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by forgetting your prayers, leaving your prayers to the end, not even praying even one ruk'ah, also even abandoning your kinship and abandoning your parents? After all of this, you find the people who disobey their parents insisting and consisting on doing so. After all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened in front of us of hope and of hasanat, that for one ruk'ah you may enter paradise because of, and for a person that can make wudu and go to the prayer room, go to the mosque, Allah gives you the opportunity for every step that you take to give you 10 hasanat and to forgive 10 sayyat. After all of this, those who sell haram are still going to sell haram. After all of this, and after hearing this, you are going to make your homes and abandon them and make them into a graveyard by not reciting Quran in them. After all of this, are you going to go back and listen to the music and listen to these singers who will only lead you to haram, who will only lead you to hellfire, who will only lead you to the companionship of those who will make you end up in hellfire, of those who will make you drink alcohol, of those who will only acquaint you to the opposite sex in the haram, of those who will make you only go and spend time in the haram, after haram, after haram, and then make you fall into debt of your religion itself, and make you copycat and imitate step after step, foot after foot, until even if they enter the hole of a lizard, you'll follow them, the Jews and the Christians and the West? Are you still going to do that? Are you still going to copy them in every way, in every opportunity that you get, because you think that that is what is famous, because you think that is what is cool, because you think that is what would make you reach your success? No, my dear brothers and sisters, the only success is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only success is through your religion. The only success is through the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read about him, know about him, see what he has said. Know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and you will finally realize and recognize that Islam has not come to captivate you or to make life hard for you, but in fact for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, in fact to make your lives even better for you. Look at the people of the West, how they live a life of agony, stress, pain, anxiety, grief, sorrow. Even if when you think that they are successful, they are still in a state of anxiety and distress, because they are always afraid and fearing that they will lose this success one day. They fear that they may lose this wealth which they have. They fear that one day they will lose this happiness. Whereas for a mu'min who's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the ways which Allah has commanded him and prohibited him, a mu'min is one who depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows that whatever he receives is from Allah, and whatever Allah prevents him from is only the will of Allah, so he must be patient, and because of patience he will still get rewarded. This is the state of a mu'min, my dear brothers and sisters, in Islam. And I completed by saying the last hope, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O you who believe, repent to Allah. Repent to Allah a sincere repentance. A sincere repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And repent to Allah, O you who believe,
so that you can reach success. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters. Do not despair over the sins which you have done. Repent tonight. Go back home. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him to forgive you. Obey your parents. Follow them with good deeds. Reconnect your family ties which you have lost. Reconnect your justice towards your wife and towards your husband and towards your children and towards your responsibilities. And follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guarantee that you'll find a happy life. This is the life of a mu'min, the status of a mu'min. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Alhamdulillah for a merciful God, for a forgiving Allah, for a forgiving Creator, for a merciful Creator, the One whom we do not need to seek intercession through any person, through any imam, through any graveyard, through any grave of a righteous person, through anything at all, but directly, just by turning yourself right now, or in a second, and say, Oh Allah, my Lord, forgive me. As Allah says, وَقُلِ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And say to them, Oh Muhammad, supplicate to me, ask me, I will answer their prayers. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ. And say to my servants, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I am close to them. I will respond to the caller when he calls out to me, when she calls out to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So let them respond to me and believe in me so that they can reach proper guidance and success. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.